You're listening to the RPC Sermons Podcast. Today's episode is a special episode from our Lenten Facebook Live series entitled Closing the Distance. These are unscripted conversations with the pastors of RPC and various special guests reflecting on topics from our ongoing sermon series. If you're interested in learning more about this community of faith, visit roswellprez.org.
Hello, welcome to Closing the Distance. My name is Jeff Myers, one of the pastors here at Roswell Presbyterian Church. And it is my joy to be interviewing and talking to Dan about this past Sunday's sermon. Dan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, although I just mentioned to you, like, I tried the spiced Coke, and I'm not wild about it. But
was it an accident, or was that intentional?
It was an accident. I thought it was cherry Coke. I'm good with cherry, even vanilla, but it's the same color bottle as cherry, but I didn't notice the spiced.
Sounds gross. I don't know, man. Where did you find it? I haven't even seen that.
I was at Kroger, had to grab something real quick. You know, they say about girls, sugar and spice and all things nice, but this is not this is not a quake.
Well, that's one more thing I don't need to try.
Exactly.
Well, as we do here at Closing the Distance, we like to have conversations about carbonated beverages, but also about the previous Sunday's sermon. Thank you for bringing the message yesterday, Dan. As you were preparing your sermon, how are you thinking about it, about in terms of prayer? And have you thought a lot about prayer? Obviously, I know you're a praying man, but had you thought, I was just interested about your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, we're in this sermon series and we have been studying all these prayers. And so I'm basically in preparation, I just pulled up a whole lot of her prayers. And again, use them. So the prayer that we prayed, the confession prayer, was one of her prayers that Trenton actually adapted for confession. That was not indicated in the bulletin. I think it was indicated on the screen if you're in the modern service, but that was also hers. And so, yeah, in preparation, not only kind of learning about her life, she was relatively familiar to me, but you know, you kind of do a deep dive. Yeah, then looking at the various prayers in her life. And I know in the message yesterday, I focused more on her life, but there were a lot of quotes in it, and most of those quotes were parts of prayers that came out of all those experiences that she had. So yeah.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So you were familiar with Teresa, and how do you say what town is she from?
Okay, so Jeff and I had to be sure about this, and we have kind of an inside scoop in that Sonia is here, and she is Spanish from Spain, and so I asked her, and she said Avila, because I've heard, you know, some people say Avila, or, you know, the double L is a Y sound, Avila, but it's Avila. So I'm taking her word as a native Spaniard that's the way to do it.
Yes. And for those who don't know, Sonia's on our staff as one of our ministry assistants, just a wonderful human being and
yes,
a coach when it comes to pronunciation.
Yes, absolutely.
So you were familiar with Teresa. What did you learn that you didn't know before going in?
I mean, I think there was a lot in terms of, I think I'd looked at some of her prayers and knew roughly the time period in which she lived and that she had established the Carmelite nunneries and that kind of stuff around Spain. And, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, and read the prayer that you chose is probably one of her more familiar prayers. And so had seen that, used that in orders of worship and that kind of stuff. But learned a whole lot, again, about her 20-year struggle in prayer. Like, I'm dedicating myself to prayer, but you know, felt like I was hitting a wall for 18 years. I mean, imagine that, right?
Yeah.
Feeling like, okay, I'm committing myself to become a nun. I'm leaving my family and dedicating myself to prayer. And then 18 years later, still thinking, I still have no idea how to love and serve God. You know, and that she's open and honest about that and just says, you know, this is it. You know, I talked about, you know, her tendency to overthink things. You know, and kind of where that came from and, you know, that understanding her, you know, the little anecdote that I shared early on, which is probably who knows, it's probably not real, but that's kind of an image of her where, you know, she's in miserable weather and she's traveling around and she's complaining to God, and, you know, and then her kind of quick quip to God about, you know, I understand why you don't have very many friends, God, if this is how you treat them all, you know, but that just kind of humanized her in a way that I think that that's why, whether that story is, you know, true or not, people see her as someone who was very human in that regard. And so those are the things that really stood out to me and all that.
That's interesting. And as you talked a little bit about saints and, you know, I think you had a couple of good funny lines in there about saints. So why do Presbyterians not have saints, or Protestants in general, do you think?
We certainly can't say we don't have saints. We just don't designate saints. Like, we refer to St. Patrick and St. Francis and St. Teresa. We're happy for the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church to designate these saints and refer to them as such. We just, you know, maybe that's Reformed thinking. Maybe it's just a little bit of the tall poppy syndrome, whereas, you know, I don't want to think that anyone's better than me. So, you know, I know that Presbyterian guy down the road and he wasn't really a saint, so I'm never going to nominate him for a sainthood. So maybe there's some jealousy or just kind of understanding that we're all in the same place. And that was essentially what came out of for me in the message yesterday, is like, we look at these people as saints and we have these highlights, right? These significant prayers. And we, you know, yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. I mean, he has a whole day to himself. Right. And we think they must have had some astounding or exceptional relationship with God or commitment. And of course they did in some way, but exceptional, not in the fact that they were better able to do it than the other human, that they had just decided this was going to be their life. Does that make sense? And so Not exceptional, the fact that you and I aren't able to have a similar kind of relationship. And again, that's what I hopefully came back to and just said, you know, this, they were not saints in their lifetime. And, you know, on that little quip or that little story of St. Teresa, where she's just grumbling and complaining about the bad weather and her car getting stuck, just says, she struggled, you know, or she was real. And so I think maybe Presbyterians are like, you know, kind of like the message we have about Jesus early on, you know, oh, isn't he from Nazareth? Can anyone good come from Nazareth? I think that's why Presbyterians maybe don't have saints. Like, That bozo, he's not a saint.
Yeah.
But who knows? Like I said, maybe St. Jeff of Atlanta is on the card someday. That'd be great.
Well, probably not anytime soon. I'm interested, like, personally for you, I know you've been really thoughtful about this over the years. Like, who have been kind of saints, if you will, for you personally, like, who have been your mentors and kind of modeled the faith? I think it'd be cool to hear maybe a little bit about that.
That would be cool, Jeff, except you've already set us up for this is my story. And that's basically my whole sermon. I don't want to give it away now.
Okay. Give us a deep cut. Give us somebody we may not know of.
Right. Certainly for me, there have been several people all along the way. And again, people who stood out for a variety of reasons in different circumstances or situations. So there's a guy who you'll probably hear about in the sermon. Oh, I haven't written it yet, but more than likely, his name was John Wordsworth, and he was the captain of the Salvation Army chapter that we were kind of connected to in New Zealand for a while, and just an astounding guy. And just the way, you know, he did things. And Lindsay, when she was here, would get on me about this all the time. But I was like, this is what I learned from this man. So he was a man who, it was a large church. And, you know, we're always, you know, RPC, any church, you're kind of looking for volunteers, right? We need people to do Sunday school, or we need people to help with whatever. And he was always one who communicated, I'm going to be here doing this. I'd love some people to join me. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not signing you up for anything that I'm not willing to do myself. So, and so again, like I said, Lindsay would come to me like, you're all the time out doing stuff. I said, that's my example, mm-hmm. You know? And so I'd rather do stuff alongside of people rather than kind of coerce people to do something that I, you know, I'm going to be over here. You guys go do this work. So that's, he's been a huge example to me. Yeah. And again, there's multiple powerful figures like that in my life, not just men, but all sorts of different people at different ages and stages and situations in my own life. And like I said, stick around until I think I'm on April 21st. You might hear more about it.
And when you, I mean, this might be helpful for folks. What is a way that you select somebody to maybe be a mentor or to be a model for you and engage them in that kind of relationship? Do you have any advice for us?
So, yeah, there's sometimes when I think it's absolutely necessary to be intentional about that, you know? And so there might be, I had a conversation this weekend with a person who will remain unnamed, but who just kind of expressed some challenges. You know, that they're, and I just kind of went up to them and said, I really appreciate you sharing that. I just want you to know, here's my phone anytime to help you walk through it and call you. And I even said to them, this is not your pastor speaking. This is a friend. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's very different. So sometimes they seek you out because they might see something or recognize something you're going through. But sometimes you might be in a situation where you're like, man, I could go this alone, but mm-hmm. there are some things that maybe someone has an outside kind of interpretation, maybe helps see things clearly. We tend to get pretty myopic. And so, you know, or it might be contextual. It might be, I'm starting a new chapter, or I want to learn something about, you know, my prayer life isn't as deep as I'd like it to be. And this person seems to be like someone who has that figured out in a whole lot of ways. I want to approach them about this, or about their willingness to give, or about the management of their time so they have free time to serve, all those kind of things. And so, and we need to recognize that some of those relationships will be, you know, years long, and some of them might be just, you know, temporary for a season. And most of mine have been temporary. There are a couple people with whom I have, you know, a decades long relationship, but particularly, I think, this is not an excuse, but particularly for men, I think those are less likely, at least for me, you know. And again, yesterday when I talked about, with St. Jeff of Atlanta or St. Carrie of Roswell, I was like, and St. Daniel of No Fixed Abode. That's part of the issue for me, is that, it tends to be people that I'm in proximity with.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So,
yeah.
But it is an important thing. And again, I don't think it's something we should take lightly or just assume then, well, no one's got time for me. Because the message for the men's retreat was, you know, Stephen Finkel started with community. Like, this is RPC or whatever congregation you're part of, or your home group or small group, is community. And we can only be faithful in community. And so it's important to have these relationships. We see them throughout scripture, you know, that relationship, Paul and Timothy, or Jesus and the disciples, or, you know, Moses and Aaron. There's this kind of community to help in leadership and decision-making and following the path that God has selected for us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that really helps, but.
No, it's helpful. You did talk, you mentioned just a minute ago that you were in, you lived in New Zealand. How long did you live there? 25 years?
17.
17. So, and you know, that was a pretty, you started your sermon, with, you know, looking at people's Instagram posts, you know, their exotic travels. I was like, wait a minute, Dan, I was having jealousy of you in New Zealand. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Yep. Well, that was the whole point. And I think I said that, again, every sermon for me is a little bit different, but I think I said that in one of the times, like, there might be people here that have looked at me and think the same thing, but you only saw the highlights. And any of those, I didn't take any of those pictures because I don't take pictures. So anything that was on there was stuff that either Cindy or my photographer son took. So that's why they looked so good. But yeah, those are the highlights. What I haven't posted in any of those things is, you know, me shopping for groceries, or I just had a flat tire. I didn't take a picture of that and say, I'm fixing my tire. because that's not, well, not anything I want to remember, or it's kind of ordinary, or anything I feel needs to be posted. I've never understood, this is just me being old, all the things that people post. Oh, this is my meal today. Let me take a picture of my breakfast. Like, well, I don't care. But, you know, there, it's a thing for whatever reason. But yeah, so yeah, you might have had some jealousy. That's fine. But that's a 3-week period. I had a friend who said, oh, I wish I could live your life. Same thing. And I was like, yeah, but that, you know, that was a 3-week period, and that's it. And you still didn't see there wasn't all highlights even there. So,
right.
One of the, actually today, one of the people on staff commented about that message.
Oh, sorry, yeah. What were you saying?
I was saying one of our staff, Sarah, commented today that her daughter, you know, that we're constantly comparing our ordinary everyday lives with the highlights that other people post all the time. And again, we might come away feeling like, I don't measure up, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
Yeah. And it always was. I think social media just exacerbates that a little bit.
Yeah, I was reading some stats that the young people are starting to put their phones down a lot more than their parents.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's almost like they've seen the way, it's almost like it's annoying them. And it's like, I remember when we used to do Rutledge, which was the summer retreat for the youth. I remember asking a bunch of them, I was like, are you bummed out that your cell phone's not going to work out there? They said, oh man, I can't wait to get out there. I put it away and I don't have to think about it for a week. I thought it was really instructive. And I've tried to like get off of Instagram pretty much just because not a lot.
Well, maybe that's a way to encourage them to drop their phones altogether. You know, like for a long time, Facebook was a college thing and a trendy thing for young people, and now that all us, our generation, are on it, they're bailing. So maybe if we're just on our screens all the time, they'll get rid of the dumb things and not be saddled with them. That'd be good. We'll set a bad example for them, and Major and Memphis and the future M will just be like, I'm never having a cell phone.
I hope not. Although I want to get a hold of them, so maybe not.
Right.
Hey, before we get off, a lot of folks may not know, you just published a new book.
I did. Let me grab it.
You have a copy? Show us.
There it is.
Church for everybody.
Church for everyone. Yep. Church
What's
for everyone.
It about?
So it is about emerging generations and their connection to the church, and helping us as a church think about what are the ways that we can be as most inclusive as possible. So including people of all ethnicities, demographics, socioeconomic standing, educational levels, all that kind of stuff. And what are the things that we do as congregations that might be putting up walls or barriers unintentionally, right? That we don't really know. We just assume this is church. This is how it is. And yet there are some people who might want to be a part of the community that feel like, oh, I don't fit in here. But as the body of Christ, there should be no one that feels like they don't fit in. And so that's essentially what it's about. We've actually had a few podcast interviews and that kind of stuff. And when we get those back, I'll talk to Vicky about some place that we can post them so people can find out about it. And you and I have talked a bit. We haven't pinned anything down, but I think I'd really like to do a standalone Sunday school class. I know we have kind of designated Sunday school class, but maybe 8-10 weeks in the fall for people to just say, come and let's study this together. I think that'd be fun. Yeah.
I think it'd be fantastic. I think a lot of people don't know that you publish this book. I think that'd be great exposure to kind of a part of your thinking that I think a lot of people haven't engaged with and really could learn a lot. Who's the audience for the book?
Depends on who you talk to. Talking to my wife, she says she's reading it for the first time right now. So she's in the midst of it. She saw me, you know, working on it and tried to read the dissertation that it was based on, and she bailed. So, but the book, I mean, anyone who's interested in the church and their specific congregation and wanting to include particularly those in emerging generations, but also, you know, hopefully seminary students, pastors, elders, people that are trying to think broadly and strategically about the future of the church, capital C, but also individual congregations.
Okay. Well, I look forward to reading it and learning about all you've been thinking about it, because it's a lot of content in there.
There's a fair amount. I'm glad it's over, that's for sure. Somebody asked me, so that it's available on Kindle, but it's also available in audiobooks.
Did you read it?
I mean, people wanted to buy it. You can find it on Amazon audiobooks, and you can purchase it and then listen to it in the car. And so that's not standard. Like, that doesn't happen with all books, but the audiobooks, people are like, oh, we want this one. And so they reached out to me and the co-author and said, do you guys want to read it? And I said, absolutely not. I am kind of sick of this material.
So
someone else, some professional audiobook guy reads it, but that's another way. I forget how long it is. I think it's maybe 6 hours of listening time in audiobook. So
that's not too bad. That's great.
No, it's not bad at all. And again, if you got, you know, an hour commute every day or whatever, not too bad. So
knock that out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome, Dan. Well, do you have any recommendations for us? Anything we need to be watching, listening to, reading?
Well, you know, this weekend it all starts, right? So Thursday, you got to get brackets in if you're into March Madness at all. Men's and women brackets are available right now. Go Vols. Although they kind of tanked in the SEC tournament, so who knows what's going to go on there, but
yeah, it's really a crapshoot. I mean,
it always is.
On whose team, and everybody seems, no one can hold on to the number one spot. It's just going to be there'll be a lot of upsets, I think, this year.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be fun. Well, we'll get our brackets in for folks so they know we do have a staff bracket. There'll be a lot of trash talking around the office here in loving terms.
You don't have the trophy, do you? It'd be nice to say this is what it's all about.
I've never won. I'm terrible at picking games, I guess.
I mean, again, it's kind of a lot of luck in a whole lot of ways, because there's always those Cinderella teams that go a long way, and you think
For sure. All right, Dan. Well, thank you. Thanks for closing the distance. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you soon, and we'll be back up next Tuesday. Take care, Dan.
All right. Thank you.
See you, brother.
All right. Bye.